apologize and who will be arriving late.
Thank you, sir. The apology to speak is from Mr. Kwang of Wendy who is attending to the meeting today. Mr. Singh will be leading for the Chikuti Forum. And the rest of the other members have left the area of the meeting.
The apologies are noted. Can we begin to do introductions? I'll start with myself and we'll go clockwise. My name is Kukuo Lezatsi Juba. I'm the chairperson of Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprise. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, members of this committee.
Morning, everybody. Gary Nobanda, member of the committee.
Naren Singh, member of the committee.
Mahato, member of this committee.
Good morning, Nelson Magore, acting DDG, Legal and Governance Department of Public Enterprises.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Khatazo Kapidi. I'm the DDG at Public Enterprises, responsible for South Africa.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Buyo Jale, Chief Director of Financial Analysis, Department of Public Enterprise.
Good morning, all. I'm Stella Rasmus, Chief Director of Governance in the Department of Public Enterprise.
This is Kuma Jale, Secretary of SAPCO.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Zobi Tanashimi. I'm CFO at SACO.
My name is Nomshi Tamona, CEO of SACO.
Good morning. My name is Omar Zafikeni, Interim Chairperson of SACO.
Good morning. My name is Shubhimini. I'm a colleague advisor to the committee.
Good morning. My name is Isan Muchumi. I'm the committee secretary.
Hi, good morning. I'm Lee Bramwell. I'm the parliamentary researcher to the committee.
Thank you very much. The other member who has arrived would like to introduce yourself. Honorable member.
Morning. My name is Mosty. I'm part of the portfolio committee from the African Congress.
There are two gentlemen at the back.
Good morning. My name is Chobani Matela. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer in the Office of Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much. We also like to give an apology of our minister, a long-standing apology, because Wednesday they coincide with the cabinet. So Wednesday is normally not here. I didn't hear anything from the deputy minister. Secretary. Okay, thank you very much. I normally joke about this exercise to say it's important to do it. Because those who are single, they might get some partners in during this exercise. So that when we meet in the street, we don't say, oh, I know this gentleman, but I don't know who is he. So on the flight note, let's start with our meeting. We are here to receive a report from SAPCOR. Their report is on financials and also the annual
report and will hand over to, I don't know who's going to do the presentation, but before the presentation, maybe the chairperson would like to say some few words to us as the new committee. And I'm told they are also new themselves, so we are both new. So I will hand over to him before we can receive a presentation. Over to you, chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. To the members of our shareholder mother department who have come to support us, we would like to thank you and appreciate that you have given us this opportunity to come and present a report and account to this Parliament. In fact, we always look forward because it's an exercise where we do not only account, we do get some wise advice from this body, which we take into account in our learning. Before I do my short remarks and hand over to the CEO to present the report, I would like to also hand in an apology on behalf of my board members and also assure you that the next time we are invited, I'll make sure that you do have the maximum, if not all members, coming to this body. They regret that they could not make it. Myself, I do have a bit of cold, but I said out of respect of this body, I should actually come and be present and account. We also have a new company secretary who is now in place, because that's the other thing that we have not had. There have been a number of changes in terms of that support to the board, and therefore a prompt, quick, effective communication and support is guaranteed going into the future. I cannot begin to overstate the importance of state-owned companies like Safco in any developmental state or effort to improve the lives of our people. Hence to us, we take this responsibility very seriously. And as such, we are in a process, knowing full well that the report will present what has happened in the previous year. But I would like to inform this committee that SAFCOL will soon be having a strategy for repositioning, now that we have received all the feasibility studies as to what is possible and what is not. We are also mindful of the fact that a biological asset like forestry is a very sensitive one. Decisions we take today will impact on this business 30 years, 40 years, 50 years later. And as such, we are also mindful of some of the weaknesses within our business model and the fine-tuning that is needed in our governance. And that self-introspection has also been relayed to the department. So working together with the department and with this committee, we are hoping that we'll be able to build a circle that everyone will be proud of. I now hand over to our CEO, Ms. Nomkhita Mona, to do the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning again. I'd like to take us through the presentation if the PowerPoint can help as well. We have already been introduced, so those are the people that are representing SAFCOL in this meeting today. In terms of the presentation outline, we will talk about the mandate, the vision, the mission, values. We'll also talk about the group structure. We'll look at the strategic pillars. We'll introduce operations of the business. And we'll also talk about the current log in the state in the country, as well as what our competitors look like out there. We'll talk about the finance and performance of this report, the human resources of business, as well as the socio-economic development. We'll touch on land claims because they are one of the most critical risks for a company, and then we'll look at the risks in general and the outlook. On the next slide, I will only talk to the mandate. because it has become even more important on the backdrop of what the chairperson has just said. If you read the mandate of the company, it is to conduct forestry business, which includes timber harvesting, timber processing, and related activities, both domestically and internationally. This is the time that SAFCO currently is beginning to use the full mandate in terms of what it is that we're going to do going into the strategy session. The next slide talks to the structure of the business, where we have SAFCO as a group, which is 100% wholly owned by government, which has some subsidiaries, including what we call Komatiland or KLF, which is the trading arm of the business. We have Explora, which is a subsidiary in Mozambique that we bought some 10 years ago, where Komatiland or SAFCO owns 80% of that business. The other 20% is owned by the government of Mozambique. We do have a number of other subsidiaries which are dormant, and we are in process of closing out because they tend to make the structure quite cumbersome. If you look at the bottom, the four companies at the bottom, we call them associates. That's where SAFCO owns a stake on behalf of communities. These are a result of the privatization that took place a while ago. So we hold that stake on behalf of communities and on behalf of the shareholder. The next slide talks to the members of the board. The chairperson has spoken about that. We just wanted the committee to see who we were. And the next one talks to the EXCO of SAFCO. SAFCO is a four-member EXCO, supported by another layer of extended EXCO members. Next, we talk through the strategic pillars of the business. We're looking at four key areas, which is the horizontal integration, which talks to growing the business, and maybe just not only planting and harvesting and selling. It talks about how it is that we're going to grow this business in other areas, including expanding into where we are in Mozambique, but also using the trees all the way down the value chain. And also we're looking at areas around debt, because the Department of Agriculture and Forestry has forestry land that SAFCO could use. So we're looking at that when we're talking about expanding, because also what must be clear is that we cannot just expand in South Africa, because our rights to land are linked to rights to water or forestry. So it's a very difficult area, so we're looking at other ways in which we can get more land. In terms of fiscal integration, currently SAFCO's business model, which is what the chairperson of the board was talking about, is we plant the trees, we harvest them, we sell most of it, and then we process about 22% of our product. Now we are saying we need to start beneficiating our own trees so that we can create products that we can sell both internally in the country as well as in the export market. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about from vertical integration. There's all the talks to sawmilling, because we have our own sawmill, but then we need to make sure that we upgrade them. And we are looking at the export market, but at the same time looking at key strategic partnerships that can come in and make sure that business changes. With respect to rural development, SAFCO's role as a key or an engine driver of the rural development space cannot be overemphasized, because if you look at SAFCO and how many people that we employ in the rural areas of South Africa. We will talk about that a bit later, but that's a key component of the business in those areas. So looking at issues like agroforestry, looking at issues like making furniture from our trees, but also we are beginning to look very seriously at timber frame structures that we can use both for schools and for recreational purposes, but also the pole manufacturing market is an interesting one, because into Africa and even in South Africa there's expansion of electrification as well as telecommunications. We are watching the green energy space very closely, because we do have some biomass that's sitting on our plantation. We're looking at areas of biofuel. Some of our colleagues this week are involved in discussions with Eskom in terms of how it is that we can start working together with using our own biomass for electricity. So there's a number of public-private partnerships that we're looking for, including areas of cogeneration. The next slide talks to where SAFCO is in terms of operations. We are in three provinces in South Africa, which is Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and KZN. And in Mozambique, we are in the north, and we have two areas. The government of Mozambique has given us about 32,000 hectares originally, and they had then later on licensed us for an additional 70,000 hectares that we can do. And this one is closer to the fire report, which gives more opportunities to that call to do more plantation for the export market. In South Africa, we have 187,000 hectares of land, but we plant 121,000 hectares. We run the business according to ancient plantations all throughout the three provinces that we spoke about. But the other area that we're not planting, we still have to maintain for conservation purposes. So we spend money on the areas that we're not using commercially. So SASCO does look after its operations in that sense. The next two slides are a more detailed description of what I've just said. I will just highlight one or two things from the two slides. That SASCO currently has about 93% pine. That's our business. The pine tree is 93% of what we do. The other 7% in South Africa is hardwood, what we call hardwood, eucalyptus and wattle, etc. Now, we have these in the three provinces, but I'll go next to Mozambique. In Mozambique, the spread is around 50-50, pine and eucalyptus. And I did mention that 80% of the sugar is owned by SASCO via KLS, and the other 20% is owned state of Mozambique. I wanted to talk about it touches on the business model particularly. If you look at the fact that 22% of our own trees are processed internally, it means the other 78% is sold. And that's not a very sustainable business model going forward. Now, if you look at the next slide, which talks to the core operations of SASCO. We have two operations of SASCO. The one is forestry, the next one is processing. In forestry, we go through the whole value chain, where we have a research and development unit, which is very, very good. And we also have our own nurseries, where we propagate our own seedlings and cuttings. We then take it to the plantations, and we plant the trees, and where we do a number of value-adding activities, including tending and protecting and weeding, as well as pruning. Those are a number of processes that we must do, because we need to protect, one, the tree in terms of strength, but also make sure that they grow to the right size, because otherwise it's about how big your tree becomes and how good it does. So of course, we do a lot of those, and then we harvest, and then we sell to our clients. So there's transportation as well. We always usually say that within SASCO, we spend about 100 million rand a year on transporting our log. And we have identified the area as potential enterprise development base for the company. The next slide talks to what we do after we've then taken the logs out of the plantation. They get sent to the mill. We have our own sawmill internally, which is called Timbadola in the north in Limpopo. And we also are renting two sawmills in the high belt area. And the rest of the product is sold to South African private sector and other small sawmills. So this process as well is what happens in the processing business, and we have opportunities here where we can sell chips, we can then sell the actual llama, which is where we make money when the building industry is up and running. The next slide is a very important slide for the committee to note, because what it has is to your left, it shows where the market in South Africa is. In South Africa, 68% of the market is in pulp logs. And solo is 22%. And then look to your right, we see where SASCO is. SASCO's business, the solo, the main business, is sitting at 88%. So that means we are not quite matched with what the market does in South Africa. So we always find ourselves in a situation where we're not selling all our logs that we can harvest. And that is why the board said you need to look at a different strategy. How is it that you are going to then turn this program around? So this for us is a very important slide. The next one, because some people would ask me, why is it that because you are a state-owned enterprise, you're not doing as well as your competitors in the market? So you look at the next slide, and it talks to you about the area of plantation. Look at SASCO. SASCO has a plantation area of 121,000 hectares. You look at the next one, which is York Timber. They're exactly half our size. But if you look at the turnover in terms of millions, it's exactly like the opposite. So we've asked ourselves the question internally, why is it that they can make money on a smaller area of land and then we're not? So those are things that we then get to report that you need to interrogate that and we need to change that. But it's not a very, the reason we're not even talking about Sati and Monish is that they're in a totally different context. If you look at what they do. In fact, in your chamber, it's closest, but not quite close. Because if you look at the next column, it says they are fully vertically integrated, and they go all the way up to retail. So what that means is they plant, they harvest, they take it to the sawmills, they make a product, they go and sell it, and they make money down that chain. So the interesting thing about plantation necessarily is that you don't really make money at plantation level. At plantation level, you plant, you end, it's a lot of money. And you then, as well, I didn't say this one, but it's an important point. Pine is a 30-year rotation species. You have to plant pine for 30 years. You cannot harvest it earlier than maybe 24, 25 years. In other areas, they plant trees that you can harvest in 12 years' time, 8 to 12 years. So there's a big difference. It may look like South Korea is not doing as well, but we're not quite in the same business. So that's going to be important. Then you look at the area of operation. We are only in South Africa and in Mozambique. All the others are everywhere in the world. So that's where they make the money as well. And the products, we only have logs, we only have lumber. And they have logs, lumber, and other products. So that's now where we're moving towards making sure that this very chain is complete. Because that's the only time you can, then they, you can compete properly at that level. So I would like to pause here, Mr. Chair, and allow the CFO to take us through the performance against shareholder comments.
Thank you. I'll take you on a high-level view of how we have performed against the Shareholders Compact contracted with the department for the 2014 year. SACOL achieved 73% of its target for 2014. Now, if you break it down in terms of financial and commercial sustainability as well as other forestry KPI. The final KPIs were under pressure for the year, particularly the operational and profitability KPIs. You will note that your EBITDA and your return on EBT were well below the contracted targets. I will take you a bit more in detail in terms of the income statement and how it has performed and what were some of those drivers. In terms of credit worthiness and working capital targets, we had a mixed bag. I think some of the cash targets achieved, as well as gearing ratios. If we start looking at the next slide, which talks to the forestry KPIs, where we basically look at gross stock area, we have achieved these for both South Africa and Ifloma, taking into consideration the 500 hectares. Taking into consideration the 500 hectares that we have to put aside for delineation. We have also exceeded our target in terms of the temporary unplanted areas for both South Africa and Ifloma. The targets that were under pressure within the forestry and planting space were the ones that related to both Ifloma 1 and Ifloma 2, where we had to suspend the Ifloma project, and basically we then did not do the required planting. In terms of the next slide, we then start looking at the processing operations. Where the CEO mentioned that we've got one own sawmill as well as the rented sawmill. Both the rented sawmill as well as our own sawmills were under pressure where we did not meet the intake volume. In terms of the socio-economic and transformation KPIs, we have exceeded these ones. If we start looking at the skills development KPIs, you would know that issues around trainees, issues around the various programs that we put in place for them were far more exceeded. And I think it talks to issues where we've identified that, particularly within the forestry space, where we know that we need to attract and keep such a here, we have really gone out of our way to make sure that we attract entities. And you'd know that, I mean, we had a target of 20 trainings, and we basically went and got 120, noting that we need to keep such a key skill. In terms of the next slide, we look at employment creation as well as the procurement target. You would note that here as well, we have met and exceeded KPIs around black management as well as black female management and disability targets. On the procurement side, in terms of percentage of local content, also we had a target of 35% in that space. Where we've really focused and managed to achieve a 96% local content target. So back to the focus on the next slide, which talks to the financial highlights. Although the group did not achieve its revenue, we've basically seen the group managing to achieve the highest revenue since 2010. You'll note in the next slide where we basically project how we have actually grown revenue. And this revenue is also a 5% growth from the 2015 financial year revenue. We've also achieved a 511 million profit, as well as through cash by 69 million year on year. In the previous financial year, we had engagements with various specialists as well as our auditors, where they highlighted that our biological assets were significantly undervalued. In the current year, we went through a significant process of actually ensuring that we correctly valued them. Also, in the prior year, we had a qualified opinion based on three areas, for 2014 financial year, we managed to close all qualification issues. In the next slide, we provide a summary year-on-year of the revenue, cost of sales, as well as the operational expenses performance. As previously noted, our revenue, although it was below target, it increased by 5% from prior year, while cost of sales increased by 10%, which was a 64 million increase. Included in cost of sale is the company started in 2013 accruing for land lease rentals. In the prior year, we accrued for 17 million. In this financial year, we accrued for 47.7 million, which was a 10 million increase. In terms of operational expenses, noting that the company was under pressure, we then focused on expenses that the company can actually drive down in order to have and maintain expenditure. And hence you see the downward trend in expenditure for the 2014 financial year. The next slide shows a translation of the picture that you see both on the revenue line as well as on the cost of sales line. With revenue having grown by 5% and our cost of sales having grown by 10%, we saw our gross profit margins being under pressure, and hence gross margins basically decreased by 4%. Net profit margins, on the other hand, increased significantly driven by the valuation, biological asset valuation that we did during the year. Operating profit ratio was also under pressure. I think in the prior year we had sold a property of which the company saw a 64 million profit. Which obviously in the current year has fallen away, and basically then this demonstrates how the entity has performed from an operational ratio perspective. The next slide is a detailed view of what I have taken you through in terms of the statement of financial performance. Basically, basically highlighting 5% increase on revenue, 10% increase on cost of sales, as well as highlighting other income as well as fair value adjustment, resulting in a profit of 511 million for the group for 2014. On the next slide, we present to you the financial, the table of financial performance, basically demonstrating the assets of the entity, which has basically grown from 4.1 billion to 4.9 billion. Main driver there is the main asset of the entity, which is the biological asset. Also, cash flow increased from 156 million to 152 million to 222 million. In terms of liabilities, the entity accrued for land rental of 47.7 million. On the next slide, we take you through the cash flow position of the entity. Basically demonstrating an increase from 152 million to 222 million on cash flow, which is a 59 million increase. This is well demonstrated in the next slide in terms of cash flow trends since 2010. And basically ties into to what we highlighted around revenue performance, where we have said that we've seen the highest increase in revenue since 2010, and that trend is linked to how cash has grown since 2010. In the next slide, we talk about the audit report as presented by the Auditor General. In 2018, we saw a clarification around three areas, and those areas were that, how we accounted for our biological assets, as well as how we accounted for our reserves. Those qualifications were resolved in the 2014 financial year, resulting in an unqualified audit opinion. We also reported on material losses as a result of fraudulent activities within the Iflona subsidiary. And the entity recovered 800,000 as a result of this, and is in the process, is an ongoing process of resolving criminal charges that have laid against the individual. Also, we reported non-compliance. On this slide, I talk about non-compliance, particularly around credit card issues, as well as performance management issues. On the next slide, I will talk particularly around irregular expenditure that has been reported. The entity has been in constant discussions with National Treasury, particularly around a debit and credit cards within the remote areas of the business, where we had asked for pardon, basically an exemption, they come back to us and said, no, you need to go back to the drawing board and look at alternative ways of managing your risk within those areas. We have subsequently post year end come up with a proposal that the National Treasury is in line with, basically addressing this particular non-compliance. The next non-compliance deals with the alignment between shareholders' compact as well as the corporate plan. And it basically talks to areas around forestry, processing ties that needed to be in sync between the two, the shareholders' compact as well as the corporate plan. If you go on to the next slide, we basically talk to irregular expenditure. The entity reported irregular expenditure of 16 million. And that basically was as a result of people within the company not adhering to process, but importantly, not doing their job. We are focusing on disciplinary processes. We are focusing on instances where people have raised issues around the policies and procedures, and reviewing those. We are also looking at our systems and ensuring that they enable the people to report and do their job. I'll now hand over to the CEO to take us through the rest of the presentation.
We just wanted to talk through the human resource side of the business. SAFCO supports over 5,000 jobs in South Africa, in Mozambique, as well as in the three provinces that we spoke about. And the significance of these numbers is that if you multiply 5,000 by 5, which is usually the number that is conservatively used per household. So if one person in the household works and they support 5 people, so it means our impact in the rural areas of South Africa is even more than 25,000 individuals. And if you look at the human resources programs that it is, we have implemented a lot of programs internally to make sure that the business works. Because what is important to note is that SACO is a business in recovery. That's what we are. We walked in about 2 years ago and we started putting in place a number of areas that would make the company strong. So we have focused a lot, the board very strong on the issue of transformation, and we have a lot of acceleration of the black managers and professionals in core positions, making sure that because this is a plantation or forestry business, we get a lot more people coming in. We have done a lot of in-house programs, including the performance management system, but also the health and wellness program that we've introduced for all our employees. This includes those that work in the field, because it's important that we have a very good program, because we understand the state of health of the country. The board has approved a number of policies within the human resource space, purely because if one understands the history of SACO, it's an old company, antiquated policies, they needed to be upgraded. So in the last phase of about 2 to 3 years, the board has been focusing on improving and upgrading those policies. With respect to the next slide, in terms of employment equity status, we have sought very strongly to change the complexion of the equity status of the company without necessarily losing the experienced people that have been in the company that we need. So there are specific programs that have been put in place, making sure that there's programs where they can give the skills to the new people, but also make sure that we provide. So this slide talks to the statistics around who's in the company, where they are, and what are we doing to change that picture. We have done a lot of work on socio-economic development. We spend a large amount on CSI projects, large amount when you look at SACO in relative terms. What we have done is we've gone into communities where we have operations and we find 13 social compacts. These social compacts are what governs what we do with those communities. So they tell us we need a school, we need a hall, we need this, so we will then guide it by that. What is important for SACO is that we're using this program as well to ensure that we are strengthening our relationship with the community around ourselves, but also with the land kingdom, because 61% of our land that we use is underclaimed. And our attitude is that the people might get their land back, there's no question about that. But we are also saying because that process of taking the land back to people does not fall under SACO's jurisdiction, so therefore we do whatever we can to make sure that the relationships are good. And so far it has been very good. I will also report later on about another community that is not even part of the land that we farm on. They've come to us and said, SACO, we would like to be your partner. We would like to take our land and put your trees in it. And for us, that attests to what we've done on social economic development. We have done, we are focusing now a lot more on the enterprise development side of the business, because we'd like the communities not only to be job seekers, but also participate in the business. and we have established more than 15 cooperatives, which themselves provide more than 500 sustainable jobs. These are people that turn around and get business from SAFCO. We also have assisted two enterprises to purchase trucks so that they can start participating in this business that we use a multi-million transportation blog. More recently, we have set up a furniture manufacturing at Timbadola at our sawmill, where we've trained 20 youth in the area. We've trained another 20 in KwaZulu-Natal. They are already building school desks, and we've already been giving the school desks as gifts to schools around there. The long-term plan that those would become businesses and we would sell them. So we went to the Department of Education and we said, give us a specific or specifications of how to build a deck, and we are building those desks according to those specs. So far, it's going well. With respect to youth development programs, we've had a number of programs. As the slide shows, we've had learnership programs. We have interns participating in the business. We also include our community members in the programs that we do. We also have trained more than 500 community members in a variety of interventions, as well as those that are related to forestry and those that are not, because not everybody wants to be forestry doesn't mean exclude them. We also have held a number of career exhibitions and have a number of participants participating. What we also do is we spend millions on bursaries, and when we give bursaries, it's only not only for forestry, it can be in any other area. But we do have a bias that we spend a lot more of the bulk of the bursaries in the areas where we operate, but we also look at others from other areas. It's not only just us, but we give more respect to those that are closer to us. The land claims is one of the key risks for the business of SAFCO. We work on land that does not belong to us. And we have moved quite a long way in terms of making sure that the land claims are resolved. We are very excited to note that Limpopo has been on the forefront. It moves very fast, and there's about three claims that have already been approved, and they're likely to be settled within the next 6 months to a year. And we are using that as a pilot to see what would happen. But the one thing I want to say on this slide is that we are working very closely with the Department of Rural and Development, as well as the Commission themselves, the Land Claim Commissioner. We have developed a settlement model that has already been workshopped with some of the communities who then said to us, we don't like this clause, but we like this clause. It was well received. So it seems like the settlement model that's on the table could be accepted. There are some challenges in the various areas, not in all communities, where we find that people, as soon as we have a sour tree, they come and build houses, so they occupy the land unlawfully. And also sometimes we feel, because the jurisdiction does not lie with us, we can't do anything about settlement of the land. It lies in other departments, so the communication is not as good all the time. The biggest one is the dispute between the claimant themselves, where they have claims, but then within themselves, they can't really decide who has the land, etc. So that's an area that we are focusing a lot on, and we believe that with this new approach from a community, that the staff college has worked with it, it even shows that our efforts are bearing fruit. The next slide talks to high-level risks and challenges that were faced by the business. The inability to sell our log volumes, we leave some of the volumes on the ground. The land claim is a great issue if they're not resolved. Also, the changes that we find in the external environment, where the markets are bad and things are not going according to plan. Our chairperson has spoken about the fact that we've identified the business model as being incorrect, and we are doing something about it. Issues around skills retention, because everybody's looking at people that come into SAFCO, they're well-trained, and then they offer them better salaries elsewhere. The issue around future role of SAFCO, which is a developmental issue, and also that we have this old sawmill that we run. It's in Zimbabwe called Timbadola. It's got boilers which are about 100 years old. So it makes our lives very difficult. So we do need to upgrade, as well as increase operational costs, as the CFO has said earlier. The last slide talks to what is it that we're going to do about challenges that we've mentioned. Coming out of the trash session that we're going to have later in this month, we have identified a number of areas that we can implement to change the business. The Timbadola upgrade, which is our own sawmill, that is to be upgraded. And we also are looking at exporting logs. If you look at the money, the mandate said both domestically and internationally. So we are looking into that now. The expansion of diploma, the business in Mozambique, as well as making sure that we have facilities that we can take our products from plantation all the way to a product that you can sell to make furniture, and of course the green entry area. What is said here is, if you look at the shareholder compact, it talks about financial and commercial sustainability, the sustainability of forestry management, as well as the developmental contribution being enhanced. All the projects that is chosen, they all fit in, which is why you see those 6 days. So that's what SACPOL is looking towards going forward. The one last slide that we want to talk about is that there is a certification program called FSC. SACPOL is the first company in the Southern African region that got the certificate. It basically talks about how you run your business, how you run your business in terms of conservation, in terms of your people, in terms of looking after the environment. And we continue to be certified. They do two audits every year. It's an international company, and they come and do it. And SACPOL always gets certification. We've just got the latest one recently. In terms of the business itself, as we said earlier on, it is a business in recovery. It is a business with a different focus now, and therefore we see that there's a lot of new growth opportunities that we can use our high-value products to get more of that. And in terms of the SHEC stats, which we believe are important, we obtained an 82.76% compliance score. On NOSA, the board is going for 100% here. They're saying less than that is not acceptable. So we have these annual internal environmental and safety audits that we've done every year within our own risk development. So we thought we should actually just mention that the CFO did not mention the fact that SACPOL has a very strong unencumbered balance sheet. So if we want to go into this new project, we should be able to support that internally, as well as obviously get some partnerships. But what's also important is that SACPOL is a self-sustaining business. We live within our own means as a business, and we continue to strive as such. And I'd like to hand over back to the chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that presentation, for all the presentations. I would now allow honorable members to make their observations in relation to all what we have been told here. Observations, inputs, questions of clarity. Yeah, I will begin with Honorable Dr. Dienge. He'll be followed by Honorable Ranto, and then followed by Honorable Sadi, in that order.
Thank you, Chair President. Let me first appreciate and welcome the elaborate presentation that we have received. Safe to also congratulate the interim board chairperson for his vision in terms of ensuring that the progress that we can see for the time being. But let me first pose also the question to the chairperson with regard to the governance model that they want to employ in order to justify the existence and the availability of board. And secondly, I've heard from CEO that there is a kind of mutual relationship between the board and the management, which is a requirement or a principle of public administration, which is a political administrative dichotomy where you need to interface with each other. So how then is the board contemplating to ensure that the existing staff expertise that is in the institution is maintained and retained at the government level? I understand the retention strategy on part of management, but at the government level also. The role of the communities in the forestry, which is a bone of contention when we want to assist government in terms of achieving its priority goals as contained in the National Development Plan, as well as in the state of the nation address and certain ministers with regard to procreation. I would specifically want to hear the strategy with regard to the contribution that the institution will make in the job creation and also the beneficiation of communities in forests in general. There are those plantations, especially that are owned by white, I would say. I don't think inherency is black. Since I came into being, all the owners of the plantations are white. And then when you look at the conditions under which the employees of those plantations, they are overpaying. At one stage, Vavi at one stage pronounced to close certain settlements in Mhata at Elungi. When I saw on the screen the house that is provided there for those employees, it's like the one that has been shown to you. But those, I think, they are almost 30 years old. And the facilities and the environment there is very much not up to standard. With regard to exporting your product, is there any guarantee for your prices? Are you very sure of the prices that you are using, that you are not maybe selling with a price that is not being used globally? Then on your social responsibility, I see that you have spoken to that. Let me not maybe waste time on that one. Let me deal with land claims. The question of land claims, is there any effect that hinders your objectives in terms of the existing land claims? Because I have an understanding that is, if there is a land claim, it doesn't say it must hinder development. There should be an understanding between you, because you are not involved, and you are doing something in the land that is not going to be taken to a particular, it will remain there, and the owners will actually benefit out of that. So there's also something that is to be done at a political level. Maybe the board can maybe intervene and get that understanding that these land claims must not affect your operation going forward. Staff-related issues have spoken a lot. I think the person here, in this is one institution which I begin to understand that they have effects much more on human or on human what is this thing? The issue that has to do with human resources, the human resource management, and also the issues that are actually there, including the introduction of the health and wellness programs. They are taken seriously in other departments. And some managers will not allow staff to participate in sport and recreation when they are fed there and die with their conditions of health that are not right. So we need to lead by example and promote this important aspect of health, because you are saving by promoting that. I think, Chairperson, lastly, the issue of assets. Do you have an asset management and valuation policy? And also, in your asset register, what is going there? What is the template that exists in your asset register? The President in the State of the Nation has spoke about 75% localization policy, which I believe it's not a policy that is there, but it's an order that has been given. What are you doing to ensure that 75% of the expertise and services that you need, you prioritize 75% of the local content? I think let me stop there, Michelle.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Chairperson, and let me also welcome the presentation by of call, and also welcome the interim chairperson and the comments that he has made. Chairperson of the board promised here in this meeting that there will be a change in the company. Then I was of the opinion when he said that it needs us also to be part of the change and take every step with the company going forward. If it was for me, and also if I had enough finances, I would say every quarter, let us get a report what steps are being taken to go forward. If it was for me, Chairperson, I would suggest that, so that we see if there is effort that is being made to change the company's face. The other comment or question that I would have, I am not hearing anything about transporting the product or plantation by rail. It's about trucks on the road and everything else, but there is nothing that is said on rail. I'm not sure, maybe when they take rail, it's going to take them very long to reach to the point where they're supposed to be. But to me, it's much safer. It's about safety, not about the time that it is taken by this transport. Also, the chairperson promised in fine-tuning the staff call company. My question would be, chairperson, when you are going to fine-tune the company, do you have the correct material to do so? Are your material that you have reliable for the duty ahead of you? We have a branch in Mozambique that we are talking about, and the Mozambican government is owning 20% of the land that we have, or we are given there, if I heard you correctly, CEO. Then the government also promised us about another hectare that it is going to give us. Are we on the right track with the Exploma branch that we have in Mozambique? Are we doing well? Is it going to help us to get another hectare? Are we handling everything well there? Are we not rushing things, maybe, to get the other parts, the bigger parts of the land? Do we have enough resources, all the resources that are necessary for us to get that piece of land that we are promised of? Do we have enough? Are we having a strategy on how to approach the weight of work that we are going to have there? In the strategy pillars, as it is said, the horizontal integration, we spoke about other regional areas. Which are those regional areas? If you can be specific on that, because when we are doing oversight, we are not saying we are going on others. We are going on specific places when we are doing the oversight, talking to specific people. If you say on others, if I am trying to study at home, that will be in the same how OT Ipa Pratiwala Makosta. I said, yeah, because among those ladies, my wife is there. You must be specific and say, my wife is this one. I also have another idea, chairperson, of us, this committee, together with the people of SAFCO, to visit the Mozambique branch. If we can do that, I think that will also help us going forward. So that we see, we're not talking about things that we get on paper, and then we're not really touching the nitty-gritties of Mozambique, Mozambican branch. Because Chelsea, I've got a lack of commercial skills and accounting skills, ne? In slide, you see, yeah, the pages are not really there. You get other pages that are not numbered, and the others are numbered. I don't know if it's deliberately for us to get confused or what. But anyway, the performance against the older metrics. There's in that slide, there's a column that says that give us the return on equity excluding fair value movements and translation gains and losses. It says negative variance is due to the losses incurred as a result of lower revenue than budget and depressed margin. I take it the revenue is what you collect on my little knowledge that I have. What happened there? What made this variance to be negative? Have you stopped collecting, or are the people that you are working for not responding to what you to your advances? As this happens, I'm going to the last page. Let me leave this. You got a remedial action that you have on the other page that you pointed out here. There are disciplinary actions that you are speaking about that are underway. I'm not sure when you say underway, what do you mean? Do you mean it has not started yet? It's going to start, it has not started yet. And also, how long is it going to take you? Because the process of disciplinary action will also temper on your finances. If you take longer, is it not going to hamper or have a bigger impact on your finances than speeding up the process in doing those remedial actions? Because I take it the department is there to help, because the department has also got their legal people. I take it in your offices also you've got legal advisors that you have that can take you on board. That's what I think of. So I want to check, is it going to take 5 years, 7 years for the action to be processed, or is it going to take a month to finish all those legal processes? There are landscapes that you are speaking about, and there are communities that are talking to you in connection of taking the land and using that land and plant on that land. Is that not going to have also a negative impact on what you are doing as a staff court? Is it not going to take you back to land to the land being claimed by somebody else whom you do not know? Do you have done a research, or are you going to do a research on that land, on what is happening on that? Because other people, I remember there was a place in Zoubek, somewhere in Gauteng, that's not Gauteng, I don't know, I wouldn't know. There was a man who sold a land there for people to put on a residential area on a land that is not theirs, or that is not his. But he managed to get a lot of money out of that land. Now that the people are being placed to get out of that land, that land is far from what is happening now. Have you done your work in researching whose land is that, and which if it's a king or a chief, and which chief does it fall? And the process towards getting that land, are you going the legal way? It's not going to keep back on you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Honorable Teddy.
Thanks, I am impressed about the real actions that you put in place to deal with the issues raised by the Auditor General. Obviously, when you come back, we'll expect you to give us an update action
in terms of how I'm doing in respect of dealing with some of the issues as raised by the Dr. General. The same applies to the fact that you managed to get an unqualified opinion. I am personally impressed as well. I'm very passionate about people with disabilities. I'm happy when you say you managed to achieve the target with regard to employment of people with disabilities. But I was worried if those people are not at the level where they are able to influence decisions of campus. If they are there, but they are not at that level, where they are able to influence decisions of the company. Maybe it's an issue that you might want to clarify us. Who are these people? You seem to be doing quite well with regard to skills development. I am impressed personally, especially in relation to your employee adult education training. I'm impressed. The promotion of encore tourism in your forests. I want you to just update us on what it is that you are doing in the prospect. The same applies to your turnaround strategy for Ifloma, the achievements so far. What is it that we have achieved as, in terms of that strategy? I'm covered in the area of job creation as raised by Honorable Liang in terms of your contribution as a company towards government targets. If you can also clarify us in that regard. And also, you have highlighted quite a number of interventions that you are making in communities, in schools, in market stalls, and all these other things, and in all these other areas. I'm interested in the criteria that you are using to identify areas which need those interventions. What is it that you look at to be able to decide that now, yes, we can go to this particular school, we can go to this area to make an intervention? Let me pause here, but I'm happy about the fact that at least you have an unqualified audit opinion, and I hope it's going to be the same right going forward. Thank you.
Nopanda and Murabele. Was it Murabele first and Honorable Murray, and then Honorable Nopanda will be the last one.
No, thanks, Chair. Mine will be just a few questions. I'm glad that the CEO gave a very good background of the performance vis-à-vis the other companies in terms of their performances and so on and so forth. I was a little bit worried to see that Young Timbers with a Harvard with a turnover of 1.2 billion. Ourselves 0.86 billion, we can't really justify that. But I really want to understand with the very same background that you've actually given. Do you think our policies with regard to the way of doing trade does allow you to actually change the situation around, that will give you a fair competition with other companies? That's one that I just wanted to really get clarity. The second question it will be that how many Africans, particularly blacks, are benefiting out of the work that we have been doing? Not only, I understand in terms of social responsibility and all of that, obviously people will actually benefit. But the interest it will be at the serious business of your operation, how many blacks are benefiting? Is there any reason that you only find yourself operating in three provinces. Can we explore other provinces so that we can be able to expand our operations? The cost of this, which increase mainly driven by land lease and renters. Maybe he can just go deeper into that so that one gets an understanding. I must not just move from the assumption. But maybe let me move from my own understanding of what has been written there. It clearly indicates that for as long as we don't deal with the issue of the land, like we have just said, you said it is not your space. But I think we are correctly placed to can actually argue much more better to say that it is important that if we are to succeed as a state-owned company, the issue of it must be addressed as speedily as possible so that we can be able to expand our business and be able to continue to create jobs, because I think the anticipation for ourselves is to also grow the economy. Now, you can't grow the economy if you are only, but you are not given the necessary opportunity to do so. Okay, the last question around the local contents. You are saying that you are doing 78% is what you actually said, and 22%, if I understood you correctly. And 22% is what you can actually produce out of the work that you're actually doing. Now, in terms of the local content, maybe the very same question that I asked earlier, I'll be very much interested to it. How many of our people, I know that you tried to go down in terms of giving numbers and so on and so forth. But if you can also try to clarify the benefits that we're getting in terms of the very same content that you're actually sending out. The question that has been raised by Honorable Ranto, because we are state-owned companies, surely it is important that we find a way of working together so that we can actually support each other. The mode of transport, other than the sales that she has related to, now look at it with the business perspective, because if you support Transnet, if you continue to by transporting your goods with trade, it will obviously assist in the revenue of the Transnet. Maybe something that we need also to explore. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Question one is, Sasco has benefited by the increasing of the fuel price. I would like to know if they consider the migrating from shipment of logs from rail to rail, because the other SOEC called Transnet has to engage with them. That's my serious question I want to answer about. And I also want to know is, it was stated on page 41 of the annual report that external customers did not honor their commitments to purchase logs from the company. What were the reasons for this external customers not to honor these commitments? Because we would like to know that. At what stage would the SAFCO give an update for this committee on the land claims affecting SAFCO, as well as on the model for the settlement of claims of SAFCO? On page 15 of your presentation, I just want to refer to, if you look at the land owned by SAFCO, and that we only have a turnover of 0.86, and you do it in comparison, for example, with Mondi, well, we not utilize our land at all, number one. And number two, with the mining going down, and it did go down, as well as the construction in South Africa, so it is logical that logs won't sell that fast now, and it's going to be the next 2-3 years like that. So, we take investigate. Because if you look at the products of the other four companies, or other three companies, they also have pulp, paper, plywood and veneer, they should diversify to something else other than logs and lumber to actually enhance their profit. Because you can make a study of the other companies, what they're doing now and where they generate the most profit. So if you know the one side that the construction and the mining is going down, then you should diversify to another direction. Not stopping this log side of it, but diversify to up your profits going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last honorable member. Thank you, Chair. My question is on the audit report that I think Honorable Ranto had mentioned. It is on the disciplinary process being underway. I think she has already asked that one. The second one is on the annual report 2013-2014 that says most of your, the reasons for your staff leaving, most of them was due to resignation. If you can just clarify me on what were their reasons mostly for resigning, and is there other systems in place to make sure that we don't lose staff in that way? And the third one is on skills development. I see you mentioned that we are doing so much regarding skills development, but I want to know where exactly is this taking place? Which part of the province, or is it mainly rural? And how do we as rural, if I'm coming from Northwest, we have so many rural areas, how do our learners get to apply for these bursaries, get to earn these adult education trainings? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me also have some clarity questions for you. On page 31, you are talking about the increasing overhead as a result of the land's rental fee. We just wanted to have a clarity. Why is it included in this 2014 financial year? And the other question, it will be on page 33, where you talk about the annual report, which says that cash generated from operating activities are negatively impacted by the payment of land lease rentals. It's almost related to that one. And also, I just want to have a clarity in relation to the witnesses, the control witnesses, which were also cited by the AG in the annual report. And lastly, your procurement systems. What is happening around procurement? Yeah, those are my few questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll take some questions. Some were even more pointed towards the board, and then give over to the CEO and the executive to give more answers. Again, let me say, with the ease of diploma and Mozambique as part of our long-term strategy, and also the turnaround, which will be elaborated by the CEO, we're looking at a country that has just discovered gas. We're looking at a country that has the highest growth rate in Southern Africa. And those are more likely going to ignite construction and many other economic activities. So having a forest in that part of the world is an advantage in the long term. But one must have an effective business model to deal with that. So we have that long-term view when we look at it from a mindful of the current and immediate structural weaknesses. On the question that Honorable Dr. Luyenge has raised on the governance model, I do think that as well as structure, once we have a very clear strategy going forward and a new business model. The structure ought to be informed by that so that there is fitness for purpose. But what we are almost immediately observing is that the structure that you have, where you have many subsidiaries that are hanging below, some of them not yielding anything to us, is a consequence of a privatization process that was taking place but was stalled halfway through. So you do have a situation where you still have the subsidiaries which ought to be offloaded. That is the general view that we are having, where we have minority shares. So that is one part in terms of just reviewing the structure, so that you are more focused rather than being all over the place with the small entities. In terms of the Marenskis and the other entities that may also be associated in the sector, especially those in our subsidiaries, the board has raised the point that with the new Social and Ethics Committee, issues of equity, issues of labor laws and standards and conditions of our people should be under a strict radar to make sure that people are not shortchanged. Ideally, even our own subsidiaries ought to mirror the model that AFCON has developed for community engagement, for community development, for corporate social responsibility. So those things will be up high in our menu. In terms of the land claims, one of the very conscious reasons for community development in the areas especially where there is a potential or there is actual land claim is to build a relationship with those communities such that our competitors, even if those communities win the land claim, they will see us as partners who are preferred above others. That is the reason for investing. Whilst it helps with rural development, whilst it helps with our corporate social responsibility, but it also has that strategic positioning of building consciously a relationship with what we see as our critical stakeholders. On the issue of quarterly reports, since we already supply those to our department, I think we would be happy to, give the portfolio committee those reports. But not only that, we are planning on inviting, I think there is no English translation for saying you hit me in the mouth, which means you took words out of my mouth in Bretemlonyi, because we're planning to invite the portfolio committee to some of our plans and projects, especially at this very early stage when the committee has just settled, so that when we engage, we are talking about something that we have seen. And we are in this boat together. We want to work with you so that you can advise us, just like we're working with the department, and we take their advice quite seriously. Yes, Honorable Luyenge, it is very fundamental that the board, the executive, the shareholder, the portfolio committee should actually work together, complement each other. Because the moment you have cracks in those, the moment they are working at cross-purpose, you run a risk of destroying this national asset, which is so very much fundamental. So that to us is something very basic and yet profoundly important if you want to reposition the company. These different entities or role players have their distinctive roles, but they can't work without each other. So the part of the fine-tuning of the company, Honorable Member, is part of this repositioning SAFCOL generally, looking at its business model. And also, as honorable members were saying, to look at the issue of beneficiation and efficiency, whether it is to shift part of what we're doing and use the rail to cut on the cost of transport. But as the CEO was saying, we've realized that transportation is one of the key areas where we're spending a lot of money. And as such, we have consciously said that let's use that for as long as it exists for enterprise development, which is for empowering those people particularly who have been marginalized, blacks. So that in itself, I think, is very key to us, because transformation is not only the boxes you see in any organization in the organogram. Procurement of goods and services is the main thing. And also we do want to make sure that it's the rent value when we are assessing who is benefiting from these contracts, not just the number, because at times you could be giving blacks a number of small piece jobs here and there, but rather we want to stay in the strategic areas of procurement of services and goods of contracts. How is the spread of that? Because in one company, we realized, not a subcall, that whenever they had a presentation of people who are partners, people they are contracting, they would have 80% of them being black. When you break it down, they were having a contract of 200,000 there, 300,000 there, and the remaining 20%, they were talking billions. 20 years into our democracy, that ought not to be the case. Of course, we do that without compromising equality, but at the same time, being mindful of transformation itself. On the issue of disability, again, we've raised that in the Social and Ethics Committee, that is one of the things in equity, terms that we should be paying more attention, so that any measurement going forward will always have that, under the radar. The issue of staff departure, I think in every meeting that we've had as a board, we've raised the issue to say, let's analyze it, let's understand it, so that the retention strategies are in place. Because an entity or an industry like this one with biological assets, skills are scarce and it's very sensitive. So it's very important that we do have the right mix, and the executive has assured us that they are putting systems in place to ensure that. Reasons may be valid, they may be complex for that, but it's something that we've put, under the radar. Again, as I said, we invite you to walk with us in this particular journey. We have distinctive roles, but surely we invite you so that we complement each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Chairman, I'd like to suggest that we hand over to Ms. Triam Pafudi, who is the Senior Executive for Human Resources at SAFCO, so she can take us through, after which the CFO, Mrs. Zoliso Mashirini, will take us through the finance-related questions, and I would finish off with the other questions. I would like to take it 2 minutes back to you while she's back.
I'm going to start with a question that was asked on the criteria that we're using for providing infrastructure and art development for communities. We have created what we call joint community forums, where we meet with the community members on a quarterly basis. In those meetings, the communities would discuss what their infrastructure and job creation needs, and would then take their needs, look at what our budget is, and provide according to their needs. And often most of the needs are things that they really need in the community at a particular time. So they would say, I don't have a borehole in this community, we don't have water. I would then make sure that we get a borehole for them, would then get classrooms, would get any other classrooms, boreholes, and community halls seems to be what they need the most when you look at a list of what we have. Simple things like where do they say they want fence for a particular, maybe they've got the assets there, they want to be fenced so that they secure what they have. We even have projects like just making sure that we provide some sort of
food security by giving them seeds, and then they plant for them to use for their own or to sell. On the issue of disability, we do have middle managers who are disabled in the company, and the majority of the people that are disability would be our admin as well as our professional staff. Because of the nature of our work being forestry and most of our workers being out in the field, we don't have that much of them available in the coal forestry, but we make sure that we appoint people with disabilities in different categories of the work that we have at South Coast. On the issue that was raised on skill development and provision of azaris to other areas outside where we operate, currently our focus is in the provinces that we are operating, KZN, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. And the reason has been, like it was stated earlier by the CEO, that the intention was to partner with those communities that are adjacent to our plantation, and therefore we then make sure that those are the ones that benefit, and majority of them are rural communities. I just want to answer partly the question of job creation. We are of a view that as South Coast company on full-time basis will not be able to provide a lot of jobs with people coming to be employed by South Coast on full-time basis. With all the strategies that we are going to put in place, we'll increase the number of the workers that we have. But we are of a view that a lot of work will be created through the value chain or contractors that we are working with. As you can see, with our breakdown of 5,000 employees that we have mentioned, almost 3,000 are contractors, people who contract with us, they have their own companies and they work in South Coast. But also, we are very strong on making sure that we improve on enterprise development, making companies cooperatives. We want to make sure that they are sustainable. So when we create enterprise development, we make sure that we partner with other states of CIDA and DTI, and we train them fully, because we don't want to start the co-op and then they die. But also we are moving into making sure that the co-ops are not just small cooperatives. We want to create, like you have said, big cooperatives that can have a bigger stake in the economy. On the issue of staff leaving the company, the chairperson of the board is correct to say that the board also raised this issue. We looked at the statistics. We find out that we actually are less than 3%. Our labor turnover is less than 3%. The national standard labor turnover, and I did that research myself, is about 12%. So in comparison with the country and the industry, our labor turnover is actually not high. But then we have actually made sure that we are putting measures in place to retain. As you can see with the slides that we have put on sufficient planning, on talent management, on accelerated development of people in core skills, intention is to retain the employees. But critical to that, wanted to retain core employees who are in forestry related, and we've been lucky so far that the majority of people who are living are not in those skills. I think that I have covered most of skills development things.
Chair, I will then field the finance-related questions. The one question was in relation to the asset register of the company. We have two type of assets that we are actually looking at. We're looking at the biological assets, as well as looking at your equipment, your vehicle, which is your traditional assets within a company. In both areas, in the past year, the company has actually gone and done an extensive exercise of identifying the assets. On the biological side, there is a more intense work that needs to be done, because you need to actually go and look at the actual trees. You need to go and do a mapping exercise. You need to go and fly over all your various operations. You then also need to go and look at the physical our database, which is what we call the register, to ensure that what we have done on the ground and what is actually sitting in your books talk to each other. And then as a result, then that helps you in terms of making sure that you then value your assets properly. The next question was around revenue and the related variance, which then impacted on the financial KPI. The entity has got sustainable volume annually of about 1.4 million. And you would note that one of the things that link directly to the strategies are that we are very much under pressure. We are not able to sell those volumes year in, year out. I think for the past 5 years, if not more, we have not been able to sell those sustainable volumes. And hence, that's directly linked to the strategy to be able to vertically integrate and be able to benefit our own products. There was a question around disciplinary process. I'm going to also link this with the performance issues. There are various tiers and issues. You've got your contracts, your big contracts, your contract-related services. Then you've got your day-to-day transactions. What we've noted that particularly within the contract space, yes, there are areas of development, but I think the more work or the more issues that we find are more on the transactional and the day-to-day and the smaller issues. And hence, there is much to be said about discipline in terms of our first level of defense as well as our second level of defense within the procurement and the finance space. There are a number of employees that we would need to take through various processes. There has been extensive engagement with the human resources element, and we will tie this very well with the legal processes. We do anticipate that we will finish this process at the end of the financial year. On the question around the rising overheads and the rising cost of sales, within the year 2013, staff calls started the process of accruing for land rental. This cost was sitting at around 17 million within 2013, which has then increased to 47.7 million within 2014. Sitting in cost of sales, we also have your contractors, as has been indicated. We also have your transport costs, so and also your forest-related activity. These costs would generally find that they have increased on average in line with inflation. And yes, there are areas where, as the CEO has identified, we have need to go and see which opportunities we can extract. But the land rental sits within that space as well, because it is the cost of us doing business within forestry space. To close off the question on procurement, also I think what we are doing over and above that, we're doing an extensive exercise around our policies and procedures around best practices, because I think what you find that is you've been doing things in a certain way, and you have a blind sight to what other companies are actually doing. So we are currently actively involving various specialists to make sure that our processes are as thorough and as clean as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Excuse me, Phil, we didn't get the exact answer because we needed to understand the processes in the procurement.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Within the contract management space, what you find that is we've got technical committees who would review whatever tenders are in place. Those committees will then recommend to your procurement committees in terms of what needs to be approved. And this process would have obviously gone through an advertising process, your internal specialist having developed a scope, and basically then going through that technical committee process and then going through a procurement process. So even those governance structures, as part of this exercise, we are reviewing them as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to emphasize on the matter of the rentals, because I think this is an important question, but I find that we respond to it because we understand it, so we don't simplify it. The question was, why is that only this year you included 47.7 million rent for the rentals? Basically, there was a cabinet memo when we were given the land 20 years ago that said you will pay so much per hectare for this long until the end of December 2012. That amounted to 17 million rand. So by the end of September 2012, we did that. It was now the very first year, or January 2013, that the company had to pay market-related rentals for the land that we use. It's a cost that the business never had before. It was the first time that it came full on. So if you look at that, and if that amount was not paid, Subcrop is profitable. We made 18 financial profits. But the impact that that will be saved before or after, because it was a new additional or external factor that we needed to take into consideration. Going forward, it's going to be part of a cost. We will not again never have it. There was a question around that as well about the rentals that came from the honorable member. That question is actually very important. What we've done already, we've been in discussions with F, and we have already asked them to go and have the rentals reviewed. So we, as SAFCON and DEF, are paying 50-50 for that resource to appoint an external evaluator to look at that. So that process is already happening, and we should be able to get a latest figure on that data. If I want to take it from the top, the role of communities in forestry, as was raised by Honorable Yuyenge, was around job creation and contribution, but this matter links directly to the cost of doing business at SAFCON. If you look at the top five cost drivers in SAFCO, the cost of labor is right up there, because we took a decision that to make sure that we deliver on the government mandate of making sure that we create jobs, we protect jobs, we make sure that the new jobs coming up, we will not lose jobs, particularly at the level of the production workers. So that's one of the things. It's a cost that we've taken. We will have to bear it because it talks to the development of jobs in the country. That is the one area. The other area is around making sure that we continue to create jobs. Ms. Mafuti did mention it. We've partnered with people like the EPWP, and when there's been conditions or work needed to be done at SAFCON, we go into communities, we say we need so many people, we create so many job opportunities, at least it's now over and above the people that we work with. So we're very socially conscious organization, very big conscience that SAFCON has, because we know without us in the rural areas, people will struggle. If you look at beneficiation and what we've done currently as well is we move towards what Honorable Array was talking about, you have to change your model. That's exactly what we're doing. Because we looked at where we are, the logs are not going to be in the log. However, we're saying you cannot change it completely because in the next 10 years, logs, there'll be a shortage of logs in the country. So don't want to convert all the way down. You want to make sure that you change the strategy without damaging the business going forward. That's the plan you think about for. But also, I think the question was asked about, you say your revenue was affected because people didn't come back and take. It doesn't mean they're paying us for what's done, but they're just not taking it. The market was depressed. So how we do it, we do the business, we have a big tender every January. We go out into tender, and somebody comes to us and they say, we'll take so many cubic meters of timber or log, and everybody, so we have this hooking network. But then the markets are bad. So what SAP does is they are converting now from log to hardwood,
So they're converting from paying to hazmat. So they say, okay, we don't have enough money. Let's take from our own traditions. We're not going to buy from SAFCO. Even though our budget is based on some people going to battle match and so on. So the market dictates. And therefore, we are left with so many costs because we need so much cost to run the business, but the people are not taking it. This question then leads to the export. And we're then saying what we are going to export, because we also are worried about what we're saying earlier around policies of trade. How does the government enable SAFCO to trade such that we do not, we are not hamstrung with the business, but also we don't get logs away from the market, because the market has relied on us for a long time. So we went to the board, we said to the board, for the last 5 years, we have not been selling about 200,000 cubic meters of logs. Let us go into the export market and test the market and see if we can sell it. So the board says, fine, we'll give you that authorization, let's do this. Now the question on pricing of the export is an important one, because we cannot sell to an external market at a price cheaper than South Africa. That would not be competitive. So it would really be uncompetitive, and we cannot be seen to be such. It is important that we watch the price. It has to be at the level of South Africa or above. So we've done a lot of research, we've done a study, and that we are very clear about. With respect to issues around, are not the land claims hindering the business of SAFCO, we choose to look at it differently. The land claims are there, the land is not ours, something has happened. So how is it that we're going to make it happen? We have had a lot of strategies in place, and we are saying that the owners of the land unfortunately have the right to choose. It's my land, I will choose, do I want bananas next or do I want trees? So that's where we then started working with saying we want to influence them such that we become the partner of choice. That's what we do. We'd like them to stay onto our land. So it is a risk in that sense, but the risk that we would need to manage. Honorable Rancho asked about other areas, where we're saying about other regional areas. What we're saying there is our operations in Mozambique are a catalyst to us going into Africa while we are stronger. It is important to note that the operations in Mozambique, when we bought it 10 years ago, we have paid a lot of school fees on that. We can't just walk away now. And also, when we bought it, we went back into the original business plan. The business plan said we would start breaking in by year 2030, and beyond which we can start making money. So we are still very much in line with what we're doing, and we believe in the Floma in Mozambique, there is a great opportunity for SAFCO to change things around. Just to confirm, Honorable Rancho, that we already have that 70,000 hectares of land. We haven't promised that already within our book, so we own it already. With respect to the Philippine reaction, I'm not talking to the ones that are related to this year's annual report. I'm talking to what happened in Mozambique, because there was a question around the turnaround strategy of IFLOMA. The first thing we did when we got into IFLOMA was to really root out corruption. There was a lot of corruption. It's outside here. We go there every quarter or every other month, and the people were running it as their own, you know, spaza shop, if you like. So we then got in, we rooted out corruption, we dismissed about 6 managers who were from South Africa, and they were based there because they were proven to have mismanaged the business. So that was already done. That's where the recovery of the 800,000 rand comes from, because we went and were able to prove, and we've managed to recover some of the money. We then said, let's protect the assets. What are we going to do? We're going to do weeding, we're going to make sure that we grow the tree, but we're not going to do anything else that spends money before we understand what's going on. So the board said, let's do a feasibility study and have a look at that. So which we did. We are now comfortable that we are on the right track. The issue around our performance versus other companies are really, I'm comfortable that it was understood in that context. And also what is important for SAFCO's note is that because SAFCO has converted their own plantations, they are harvesting and they are dumping our market. That makes life more difficult for us, not only because the market is depressed, but also the additional product that is very cheap. So we are struggling in that sense. The reason for only being in 3 provinces is as a result of the previous decision to privatize SAFCO. We were national, we were taken out of a number of others. We are looking at ways and means to get back into every other province that has an opportunity. We've already spoken to some people in the Eastern Cape, and they said there was about 100,000 hectares that we could participate. So we are open to that discussion.
the question about railways is an important one. We do believe that the use of railways for transporting is an effective one. It just has not been done. In fact, part of our export market, we've already been talking to Transnet. We are using one of their lines in Highveld to get the product out. So it is part of what they are looking at. It is an important one, and also as opposed to the fuel price and everything else that may be talks to safety, etc. I do believe that we have covered most of the questions. Is there something you need to check? Thank you. We think we've covered everything, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. So the department, you have to say something?
Yes.
That's 2 minutes, but we're almost at the end of this. Before the department, yes, Honorable Ramcha.
Thanks, and my apologies to the department. Chair, and on when you made a follow-up question on the issue of procedures that have been taken in tailoring, my concern was when you go on tender, you might be using the technical team to make to do the tendering processes, but does it go back, whatever processes that you have taken, does it go back to the board? Does the board participate when you are doing tendering processes? Your technical team, does it involve the board? Let me ask like that. Does your technical team involve the people from the board? Or who sits in the tender committee? Who are the people who are sitting in the tender committee? And who approves the money that you are giving to those people who are doing the tender, the tender process? Because I find it difficult to have all these little things that are not happening within the company, but there is a technical team that is looking at the tender processes, or that is making the tender processes. The tender committee is there, the board members are there. As much as they are, I heard that they are new board members. I'm not on the new part of it. Are they from May this year, or are they there since last year? And your working relationships with the board. My understanding, Chairperson, if the board has got good relationship with the what do you call the executive of the company, I don't think there is anybody that would be able to do anything wrong within the company, or there will be things that are overlooked. If the board is working, if the board is hands on in whatever that is happening within the company. Thanks, sir.
Before the department two, let me allow Honorable Lienge to make a follow up and Honorable Singh.
So it's just balanced questions, Chairperson. One, it's a follow up on the role of communities. I don't really understand the fact that there is a stake that SAFCOL is taking on behalf of communities. So can you elaborate on that? How do you represent communities with that regard? And also, I did not hear anything with regard to the vacancy rate in the establishment and the entire staff establishment and equity plans. And also talk to the suspense account. Do you have that kind of an account? I hear something which I related to it, but I don't want to assume. And lastly, you have those people who you convicted and sentenced in Mozambique, which is a splendid job done. But where now, where are those people? It might happen that some of them have actually graduated from that and they are part of this establishment at another level or elsewhere in the civil service. Where are they? Then, for expansion,
you still open enough, and you mentioned that in the Eastern Cape, even if we can get maybe information with regards to the actual areas that you are targeting in the Eastern Cape, because we still have plans for expansion of forests in that province.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I'm sorry that I have to go and come back. I just want to question the profit, net profit for the year, because I see there's been some Chinese or Indian thinking with regard to fair value adjustments. I just want to know what prompted this fair value adjustments, because without those adjustments, then SAFCO is running at a loss. So what prompted the adjustments? And so that's my first question. And the second question is on your, can they speak to the internal control environment within SAFCO as an entity? Are you satisfied, CEO? Not satisfied, and what are the risks within your internal control environment? Thank you.
I think those were the three follow-up questions. So I think we can just quickly go through them.
Issue around representing communities, if you go back to that slide, and these are the ones that show the structure of the business. When SAFCO was privatized, those pockets of land were sold to private sector businesses. But when they were sold, the government said SAFCO must hold a percentage in those companies, and this money will be held on behalf of communities, such that whenever it is given to someone, it will then benefit the community around each of those. You can't really see them properly, but the one is SQFC Akubeka in KwaZulu-Natal, Amathole is in the Eastern Cape, the MTO is here in the Western Cape, and KNDC is in the previously Transkei area. So that's what you're talking about when we're holding it on behalf of the community. We're holding that stake. It's 15%, 25%, etc., etc., in those companies. That's what we meant. Yes.
Okay.
All right. The diploma people that were dismissed, the bulk of whom were South Africans, which we recalled, dismissed, and they are out in the cold. They do not do business with us, if that was the question. They do not do any business with us, and two of them were Mozambican nationals. They have stayed back in Mozambique. So we are quite vigilant in terms of knowing who does business with us. But those people are out, but know that some of them work for the opposition or the competition. But not in government. The question around the expansion of forestry into places like the Eastern Cape. We were invited to the Eastern Cape by people linked to the ECTC at the time they had done research, and they had found pockets of land that equates to 100,000 hectares that could be brought back into forestry. Our engagement with them also found that some of the land, not all in one case, it's all scattered all over. So we do need to get a proper strategy as to how is it that we are going to get the land. So there's negotiations going on, but the land is in various areas, not in one area. So that's what we're talking to them about. With respect to the fair value adjustment, the Honourable Singh missed our discussion on this matter. It is important to note that this is neither Chinese nor, I can't remember what the other word was,
Indian
accounting at all. How we want to suggest this, the question you ask is a relevant one, because you're saying what gave rise to it. Last year, when we were audited by the Auditor General for the first time, the previous year, 2012-13, they came to us and they brought their own experts, and they said, we believe that your assets are undervalued. We said to them, yes, we understand that, but we have a five-year policy. There was a question around policy. How do you work with your assets and what you do? Every 5 years, SAFCO sits down and says, let's have a look at the assets. There's an asset here, and how are we going to do it? What models that you're going to use? Because it's a very intricate and sensitive area of our business. So we said to the AG, we hear you, and we agree with you. We are undervalued. However, we do not want to change the models this year. That was last year. If we were doing Chinese or Indian, we would have jumped onto it because it was hired already by us here. So they give us time, we need to get our own expert, you bring your own, and we bring another expert who's going to check the two experts. So it was a very involved process that we went through. And how we want to explain this to the house is, if your house is worth 5 million, your house is worth 5 million. It's not worth less, because otherwise you are dealing with your assets. So that's basically where this comes from. the scientific model. We also understand the potential effects of it next year, because we're not going to revalue again. So we understand exactly that it's not going to be revalued. There's a way in that we want to give you comfort that it was not done to triple any of the books. The one point I want to make here is that we are now paying, or we accrued for $47.7 million to pay rental for the lease of the land. And we are saying if we didn't have to pay that 47 this year, we have made a clean profit. That's made a profit. So those are the things that I wanted to check. With respect to the internal control environment, clearly, this report showed that there are weaknesses. And what we did was, because we said earlier, SAFCOL is a business in recovery, if you like. So we are dealing with a lot of legacy issues, us and the current board. We found things that are not in place. We then spent the last 2 years or so saying, let's put processes in place. We wanted to fix an audit that was a qualified audit. It's unheard of, by the way, to move directly from a qualified audit all the way to an unqualified. So we really focused on that. Yes, some balls dropped on the way, and now the board has come down very strongly on us and said, we are not accepting this. Make sure your internal control environment is strengthened. So we are reviewing policies, we are taking people to task, so we are now comfortable that our remedial action is going to yield better.
Thank you so much. Let's allow the department if they've got something to say.
We'll say a little bit, Madam Chair, in view of time. But what I just wanted to say is that from the department side, we do have our concerns with the business. Some of the concerns we have, Member Singh has touched on, that if you look at the business performance at an operating level, the sustainability of it is a concern. And we have ventilated these issues through the minister at the AGM. We've given very clear directives to the business in terms of what we expect them to do and by when. Definitely topmost on our side, we want to see more energy in terms of implementation of some of the action plans that have been agreed. We are of the view that the business has been studied quite a bit between ourselves and the SOC's board over the years, and that there's a very clear direction that needs to be taken in addressing the weaknesses we see in this particular business. With regard to the future role that has been identified as one of the risks, we have defined that. We have shared it. We put the board and executives in the last year, in 2013, at the board stress session, shared that with the board in terms of what the direction is for the business to take. And we really are looking forward to the board to produce the strategy that will start to tell us how that role is going to be unrolled going forward. I just want to say on the issue of minority shareholders, we've also intervened there with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to basically get them to help us to resolve that particular situation. But in the interim, there is an option that we're looking at with NEF just to ensure that the management attention at SAFCOL can be moved away from that particular risk and obviously address the weaknesses within the business. I think in a nutshell, Madam Chair, we are saying that the business has its weaknesses. We know what needs to be done and we want that to be done fast.
Thank you so much. I think we have exhausted all the issues. We have some few. Honorable Chair, do you want to say something? Okay. I hope it's the last one. Okay.
To the department. I appreciate the fact that there are some interactions with the company in relation to a whole range of other issues. But just to reiterate what was being said to the shareholder in quite a number of interactions, is that there might obviously be a need for a forum of CEOs of all entities just to learn best practices. Obviously, this entity might be very good in the area of financial management, this one in security. It's just to redirect that kind of a forum. I'm told it has been there in the past. We might need to resuscitate that kind of a forum. I can tell you it will definitely go far in terms of addressing some of the issues. It's not necessarily with SAPCO, even with other entities, reporting departments. Maybe let's resuscitate that kind of a forum. I know it is there at the level of the minister with the board chairpersons and the like, but administratively, I still need that kind of a forum. They of CEOs. They give them space to meet on their own and interact on a whole range of issues affecting the entities. As I've said, that might be one way of assisting with other number of issues. Obviously, entities have got their own challenges. The other one might be very good in this area, the other one might be good. So it's a best forum that will be from time to time. We will get to go far.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make the kind of a comment.
Thank you so much. There's a saying in Tonga language which says, which means this is our baby, all of us. It is our baby indeed, because when the NDP on chapter 4, when it speaks about the role of the SOEs, it clearly defines how they should unlock the economic growth and assist in job creation and skills development. And when you listen to the presentations and you hear the management and also the board chair having this vision to say this is what they want to align the staff call to what the NDP says, it won't be an easy task, honestly speaking. We need to hold one another's hand. Well, our role is to oversight them and also hold them accountable to make sure they do the right thing. But on the other hand, we should also play a role of assisting them to achieve what the mandates of the department are saying they should do. And this is a long road where we should all of us embark upon to make sure we unlock the potential which is there in the CEOs. And we have hope, because I've listened to the chairperson, he has this vision and he's very clear on what he wants to take the entity to. And also the CEO herself, she's very clear, she has a deep understanding of issues, but it is our responsibility to give them support, not getting our role as this committee to make sure they do the right thing. So we will appreciate it in the next meeting if you could provide us with your industrial strategy, because that's a key, because the SOEs needs to be hands-on when it comes to the issue of EPUB and industrialization, so as to enable us to integrate all the SOEs and have one industrial policy which will be identified according to what we do as entities. Lastly, we also appreciate if we can have maybe the HR strategy, which will be in line with what the NDP said in relation to skills development. I hear you are saying you have, but we need to go aggressively so to address these issues, because if we don't do that, we won't be able to fulfill our mandate. All of us need to be aggressive in whatever we are doing. We shouldn't thrash it over because of compliance issues. We need really to speak to it from the bottom of our hearts to make sure we assist the country to get out of this situation. We'll also try to... I didn't see any aggressive marketing strategy coming out of the report itself. It's also important to have that and also bring it to us. We look into it and we assist how do we make sure it's implemented, because I don't believe we can be overrun by other competitors while we have all the capacity and the resources from the state. So it means our marketing strategy is weak somewhere. We need to go and identify and unlock it.
With these few words, honorable members, thank you very much for the contributions and our colleagues from Subcon. Drive safely and let's focus on unlocking the potential in the sector. Thank you very much. The honorable members will remain because we've got two items to address. I think we can release them and drive safely until we meet next time. Thank you, bye. Probably we'll meet in Mozambique.